for the Lancer varsity volleyball team. The playoffs begin today with round one right here on this gym floor. And I think we all want to be supportive and say, go Lancers. In Major League Baseball, the playoffs have reached the final round, the championship phase. And I know you Brewer fans won't like me to say this, but it's the World Series between the St. Louis Cardinals and the Texas Rangers. By the end of the month, I suppose, fans from one team or the other, not both, will rally around their champion, and some of them, maybe a lot of them, will say something we've heard before. We're number one. We're number one. Should Christians do the same with Jesus, the greatest champion ever? Well, notice how the Bible has replaced the we with he. Colossians 1, we read verses 15 through 18. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Yes, the church rallies around its champion too, but the chant will always be, he is number one. Jesus truly is number one because, well, you can't beat him. He's the best at everything he does. Notice how Paul points to the work of creation as something where Jesus is at the top. And Paul would especially point to the work of salvation. You know, they have these statistical races in baseball. A race to be the batting champion, have the best batting average, or the most home runs hit in a season. And usually there are a few contenders competing for that spot. Jesus, on the other hand, stands alone in the category, all by himself. He alone has saved us from sin and death. Only he has given his people something better than a trophy, the gift of eternal life. Christ is number one, even if other people don't agree or they fail to realize why it's true. I'm not talking about you, but there are plenty of unbelievers who would not agree with us. And even we fail to realize that he's number one in certain ways. We don't let him have the number one spot in our hearts and lives. It's one of many reasons why we get together for worship so often in church and chapel. We have taken the Lord off of the pedestal where he belongs and out of the spotlight where he belongs, and we've put ourselves in there. We need the help of God's word to get it back to the right way. Jesus back on the pedestal in our hearts and back into the limelight of our devotion to him, our appreciation of him. When that happens, when Jesus goes first, we get to follow behind in a really good spot, even better than a box seat in the stadium. We get to watch the Lord in action as he does some very amazing things for our benefit and his glory. When we make Jesus come first, we're a lot like a very devoted fan. As sports fans, we get excited. We're impressed by the slugger who hits the walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth inning. That gets our attention. Or the quarterback running the two-minute drill to turn what looks like defeat into victory at the end of the fourth quarter. We ooh and aah at something like that. let's be even more impressed, more captivated by the gospel of Christ. After all, we're talking about something that is life and death, not just a game, not just a form of sports entertainment. Look at the perfect record that Jesus had. And he gives it to you as your righteousness now. No sports champion could ever pull that off for the fans. What about that innocent, agonizing death on the cross? What a sacrifice, which right now is just like your death from God's point of view, the payment of your sin already made, the certainty of God's forgiveness to you now and forever. Don't overlook the empty tomb outside of Jerusalem either, which is more than evidence of a risen Savior. It's also a preview of how things will go for you and me one day. Yes, be a big fan of the gospel of Christ and you will get to watch the greatest winning streak ever, leading to the only victory on earth that does not fade over time, the sure victory that has already changed your life in a very profound way. Hey, can you imagine if church was like a pep rally and we got together to chant in unison, Christ is number one, God is number one? I'm not suggesting we change the format of church and do something exactly like that, because we are already doing something like that. Think about some of the words in the liturgy. How we sing, all glory be to God on high. Yes, our chant is already, God is number one. Christ is number one, and not just in Christian worship. We can make Jesus number one by giving His Word our undivided attention, learning to hang on everything He says because our champion will never steer us wrong. Make Jesus number one by trusting what He tells you, knowing that when it comes to promises made and assurances given, Jesus bats 1,000. Never a swing and a miss with Him at the plate. Make Jesus number one in your prayer life and also the course of your daily life as you learn to do what He says out of grateful love, grateful obedience to the one who loved you first and loved you best. This will continue to be a challenge because of our flesh, but we can count on the Lord to help us see Him and treat Him as our number one in every way, in all things. Amen. As a sort of chant that Christ is number one, we sing hymn 744. Two stanzas of hymn 744, the first and the third stanzas 1 and 3 of 744.